Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Martello Technologies Group fourth quarter and fiscal year 2020 investor conference call. Today's call will provide information and commentary on the fourth quarter and 2020 fiscal year financial results by Martello Technologies Group. We will hear from John Proctor, President and CEO of Martello, and Aaron Crowe, Martello's Chief Financial Officer. Following these remarks, John and Aaron will take questions from analysts. If you have questions following the call, you can reach Martello at investor@martellotech.com. First, here are a couple of quick housekeeping notices. All participants are in listen-only mode for the duration of the call. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity for analysts to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then 1 on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and 0. This call is being recorded, and we expect that the recording will be available on Martello's website today. We remind you that today's remarks will include forward-looking statements that are subject to important risks and uncertainties. For more information on these risks and uncertainties, please see the reader advisory at the bottom of Martello's news release, which is on their website and on SEDAR. The company's actual performance could differ materially from these statements. We will begin with a review of the financial results with Martello's Chief Financial Officer, Aaron Crowe. Aaron?
Thank you. To start, I want to remind people that Martello is a global technology company providing digital experience monitoring solutions that monitor and analyze the user's experience of real-time cloud services like voiceover IP and video streaming. Martello has thousands of customers in more than 175 countries around the world. Before I review the numbers, I'd like to provide some context to our results this quarter and for the 2020 fiscal year. I'm pleased that our focus on growing MRR and becoming profitable has yielded results, with year-over-year monthly recurring revenue growth and a near break-even adjusted EBITDA loss in Q4 of fiscal 2020. This has given us a degree of resilience amid the global disruption of COVID-19. And by divesting of the Alfiq SD-WAN business, we can focus our resources on the digital experience monitoring opportunity, which has accelerated as a result of COVID-19. This progress provides us with a solid foundation as we onboard GSX, which was acquired in May 2020. I would remind everyone that GSX financial results will be reported in August as part of our Q1 fiscal 21 results and have no impact on the results discussed today. Monthly recurring revenue was $990,000 in the fourth quarter of fiscal 2020, an increase of 13% compared to the same quarter during the prior year. Total revenue was $13.1 million in fiscal 2020, up 27% from $10.4 million reported for fiscal 2019. The recurring portion of total revenue was 89% in the 12 months ended March 31, 2020, or $11.7 million, compared to 78% of total revenue for the 2019 fiscal year, or $8.1 million. Total revenue in the fourth quarter of fiscal 2020 was $3.3 million, down slightly from $3.4 million reported in Q4 of fiscal 2019. Recurring revenue was 90% in Q4 of fiscal 2020, compared to 78% in Q4 of fiscal 19. Growth in the proportion of recurring revenue is due to growth in UC Performance Analytics revenue, which was 99% recurring in fiscal 20, compared to 95% in fiscal 2019, and also due to the continued shift from perpetual licenses to subscription sales in IT Operations Analytics. Organic revenue from sales of UC Performance Analytics software to the Mitel channel in the 3 and 12 months ended March 31, 2020, grew 25% in both periods compared to the same periods in fiscal 2019. Gross margins remained strong and consistent at 94.2% in Q4, of fiscal 20 and 92.8% in the 2020 fiscal year, compared to 92.1% in Q4 2019 and 93.2% in the 2019 fiscal year. One-time non-cash impairment charges of $3.4 million were recorded in Q4 FY 2020, relating to goodwill impairment of $2.4 million and intangible assets impairment of $1 million in the Network Performance Management, or Alfiq segment. Martello has made a strategic decision to divest itself of the SD-WAN business to focus on its DEM strategy and expects to benefit from the elimination of losses related to this segment in the near term. These impairment charges resulted in increased expenses and an increased loss from operations in Q4 FY20. Operating expenses decreased by $570,000 in Q4 FY20 as compared to the prior year, excluding the impact of the one-time non-cash impairment of goodwill and intangible assets I've described, and acquisition-related costs. This was the result of a strategic initiative to reduce costs in view of the uncertainties surrounding COVID-19, including delays in filling vacant positions and a decision to reduce bonus accruals relating to FY20. As well, travel and event costs were reduced slightly due to the cancellation of events and reduced travel in view of COVID. Adjusted EBITDA was a loss of $150,000 in the fourth quarter of the 2020 fiscal year, compared to a loss of $830,000 in the same period of fiscal 2019. Adjusted EBITDA is a non-IFRS financial measure which assesses operating performance before the impact of one-time costs associated with acquisition activity and non-cash expenses. On an annual basis, adjusted EBITDA was a loss of $2.5 million in fiscal 20 compared to a loss of $1.7 million in fiscal 2019. Due primarily to the one-time non-cash impairment charge of $3.4 million recorded in Q4 of fiscal 20, as described, relating to the goodwill and intangible assets of Elphick, the loss from operations was $4.6 million in Q4 2020 and $8.3 million in fiscal 2020, compared to a loss of $1.3 million in Q4 2019 and $4.3 million in the 2019 fiscal year. The company's cash and short-term investments balance was $5.9 million at March 31, 2020, compared to $6.6 million at March 31, 2019. Subsequent to March 31, 2020, Martello raised $6.9 million in a bought deal offering, which funded a portion of the purchase price of GSX, with the remainder used for working capital and general corporate purposes. The company will continue to closely monitor the COVID-19 situation and its impact on the global economy. And at this time, we are confident that we have sufficient available cash and working capital to fund our organic growth strategies going forward. I'll now hand it over to John Proctor for his perspective on Martello's results and outlook. John?
Thanks, Erin. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope you continue to stay safe and healthy. I'll talk today about Martello's strategy and outlook, and I'll begin by providing an update on the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on Martello. COVID-19 has disrupted the global economy, and while this creates headwinds, it has also created opportunity for Martello. Digital transformation initiatives that were expected to roll out over 5 years have been rapidly accelerated to meet the demands created by COVID, whether for remote work or telemedicine. This has resulted in greater urgency to deliver reliable, cloud-based remote collaboration services like video conferencing and office productivity suites. To enable a global workforce, these cloud host solutions need to be available and they need to work reliably. This is Martello's mission, to improve the user experience for these business-critical cloud services. As Erin has said, we've established a core resilience that sets us apart from many other businesses due to our predictable revenue model, strong gross margins, and solid management of operating expenses. I am pleased that in the midst of market volatility towards the end of the year, we were able to grow our monthly recurring revenue by 13% year over year and reduce our EBITDA losses to near break-even in Q4 of fiscal 2020. Martello's mission is to provide the industry's clearest picture of the digital user experience. To this end, Martello made several strategic decisions subsequent to March 31st. The acquisition of GSX broadens our DEM offering into the rapidly growing Microsoft Office 365 space. Headquartered in Switzerland, GSX is a Gartner-recognized DEM vendor that specializes in Office 365. This strategic acquisition will increase Martello's monthly recurring revenue significantly and give us access to an addressable market of 200 million monthly active users of Microsoft Office 365. At the same time, we are divesting of the Elphick SD-WAN line of business to ensure we have the resources we need to pursue this growth market for DEM. Discussions with a third party to purchase these assets of this division continue to progress, and we expect to have an update on this very shortly. This decision was taken because the Elfeeks division business is not aligned with our renewed SaaS-based DEM strategy and our monthly recurring revenue focus. I'm pleased to have welcomed a key new member to Martello's senior leadership team with the addition of Mike Danforth as VP Global Sales and Partnerships. Mike's role is to drive growth for our DEM solutions in both the Mitel and Microsoft channels with global partners and through direct sales. Mr. Danforth has strong relationships with industry players like PwC, Salesforce, Accenture, Deloitte, and Microsoft, and a proven track record of bringing value to customers and partners. I'd now like to provide some additional color today on our strategy to achieve DEM market dominance. We have a focused strategy to expand the addressable market for our DEM monitoring and analytics capability and bring value to enterprises using cloud-based services. Our partnership with Mitel continues to grow even as we diversify our revenue stream through acquisitions. The Mitel channel is important to Martello's monthly recurring revenue growth and DEM strategy. As the world has shifted to remote work, Martello supports many of the Mitel remote collaboration platforms that are experiencing growth in demand and earns a royalty on sales of premium software assurance for them. As Mitel continues to provide its customers and partners with a path to cloud communications, Martello has an increasingly important role to play in delivering strong voice quality and user experience for these Mitel solutions, and we expect continued strong growth in this channel. Microsoft is a key channel for Mitel's DEM solutions, which includes Martello IQ, a service monitoring and analytics platform that provides insight into the performance of the IT infrastructure supporting Office 365. I'm pleased to see large enterprise opportunities in the pipeline in this segment, along with sales resulting from a strategic partnership with Paisler. I'm also pleased to see early activity following the acquisition of GSX in presenting a value proposition to the Microsoft community that leverages both IQ and GSX solutions combined. The successful integration of GSX is critical to Martello's DEM strategy. Integration is a deliberate process with many interdependencies to consider, and we will manage this process thoughtfully with a robust integration plan. This plan is designed for efficient integration that does not disrupt any existing revenue streams, and we're tracking several key milestones from a product and sales perspective as this process moves forwards. We expect most integration activities to be complete within 12 months, and I want to reiterate how thrilled I am to welcome the GSX team to Martello. I'm pleased with the early synergies and collaboration I'm seeing as we begin to execute on our integration plan. As we focus on growth, we continue to be vigilant in managing operating expenses. We've decreased operating expenses significantly by reducing full-time headcount, reducing employee salaries by 15% temporarily, decreasing discretionary spending, and reducing our focus on the Elfeek SD-WAN business pending a sale of this division. Our most important asset is always our people. As you know, to protect the health and safety of our team, all employees have been working from home since March 16th. We are currently seeking input from our people around the world as we make plans for the future with respect to how and from where we will work. The health and safety of our team members are key priorities as we pursue these plans. I'll leave you today with my perspective on Martello's critical priorities in fiscal 2021. Our mission is to be a leading enterprise DEM vendor, and we will be laser focused on this. Growing monthly recurring revenue for our DEM solutions will be key to Martello's success, and we will continue to push towards profitability. Finally, we are focused on successfully integrating GSX and growing that business materially under the Martello umbrella. I look forward to sharing progress and results in the quarters to come, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today and wish health and safety to all of you and your families. Aaron and I are here now to answer your questions, and operator, would you please facilitate the question and answer part of this call?
Certainly. We will now begin the question and answer session. Investors and analysts who wish to ask and join the question queue may press star and then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw from the question queue, please press star, then two. Once again, anyone on the conference call who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Our first question comes from Kevin Krishnarate of A Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey there, John and Aaron. Good morning. I have a couple questions for you. First on the Mitel So, John, you mentioned how demand at Mitel is increasing. Can you just talk about how that's translating to new business to you, just in particular in light of COVID? Have you seen any benefits or any uptick in new MPA user growth, maybe, a little higher or just different than what you might have experienced, say, last year, the year before? Just kind of what are you seeing in more recent months?
Sure. Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of things. The first is one of the key aspects of our solution we do for Mitel is remote access. So if you're a Mitel partner that offers Mitel remote Mitel phone systems as a service, whether that's MyVoice or whatever any other systems they are, if you want to go and access that system without having to send a tech on site with a laptop, and in current situations in full PPE, you need our solution. So we certainly see an uptake on remote access requirements and therefore increase on licensing for that. But at the same time, Mitel has seen an increase in the ability to use phones from home. They've actually sold probably more in the last 3 months than they have in 2 years of that. So much as we've heard sort of the black phone is dead, no, people have just taken them home and reconnected them through the internet. And again, MPA fits into that to be able to see, are those phone calls still working, happens. But then if you look at the Flex, which is their new product coming out inside Google Cloud, again, that's us. We're fully embedded in that one. In fact, we're the onboarding system. They've used MPA as the onboarding system there. So again, we're starting to see that pick up. And now one of our latest release, we added the new yet another phone system on, and we've had our first one of the licenses sold to the new phone system, which is the 5000. So that first one is going out, and we see more of those to come. So it's been steady growth from Mitel that we are connected to, and at the same time we're seeing new products coming out of Mitel that we're even more connected to. So the relationship is strong, and we're seeing growth in that area.
Thanks, John. That's great to hear. And so I guess I'm wondering your thoughts on how you view the business, specifically, the MPA subscription business. That line item grew 26%, 25%. That's sort of been the level that you've been growing over the past several quarters, largely being driven by new MPA users coming on. Of course, I think a year ago you had the royalty payment fee change. But just as you think about going forward, what type of visibility do you have? What type of confidence do you have? Just how do you think about that business and your confidence in maintaining that subscription growth rate that you've been experiencing the past few quarters?
I mean, it's a good question. And the key point there is, obviously tied to Mitel. And Mitel's innovating. If you look at some of the pieces, what is interesting on a recent partner call, Mitel mentioned how they're connecting themselves to Microsoft. They're connecting their phone system, their own effectively Zoom collaboration, their version of that. They're connecting that to Microsoft. Again, with our own acquisition of GSX and our own Microsoft connections, we become just as aligned as we were before. So I think, we will continue to see that level of growth as this remote working becomes, stronger. And I think the other thing is we're seeing CIOs settle a bit. We've had that initial sort of CIOs struggling with my workforce is completely spread out. They've gone from, the office, they're all spread out. So therefore, I've got to find something quick, cheap and cheerful to get them on connected. And now they're starting to pause and say, well, hold on, now I need something a bit more enterprise grade. And that's where Mitel fits. If you're looking for enterprise grade, level connectivity where you can chat, video conference, send files and connect all together, you're not looking for the cheap and cheerful solution. You're looking for a more disciplined, well-balanced technology. And that's where Mitel comes in. And again, MPA plugs into all of those solutions that Mitel offers.
Great, great, very helpful, John. Thank you. Just wanted to switch over to GSX now. I know it's not in the Q4 numbers, but you've had the unit under operation for about a month. Just at a high level, I just recall the business, about 75% of it was tied to Microsoft or Office, and that business had been growing 35%. I'm wondering, you know, what you're seeing there, how the profile might be looking, in light of COVID and remote working, and, you know, just number one on that, on the Microsoft business. And can you remind us what the remaining business is and what the growth profile is there, and what are the, opportunities on that side?
Sure, I'll give a first part and then I'll hand over to Aaron. So the legacy business is Domino, which not many people still operate, but surprisingly, they still get renewals. As you know, some CIOs, like I said, hunker down. They're not willing to change. So Domino, which you know any tech heads on the call will recognize as very much a legacy product. But again, like I said, it's still renewing. But we, you know, again, we see that one, you know, over time, reducing. But the uptake of the GSX Gizmo in the Office 365 is significant. We've had closed a fairly significant deal just before the end of the of last month with a very large U.S. Company. We're very pleased with that one. And again, in that case, we actually removed one of our competitors. So not only did we take on a very large U.S. Institution, but we removed one of the competitors from that space. So we're very pleased in that growth there with GSX, and we see that continued. And again, what is interesting there, Kevin, if you look at the Mitel partners, a lot of them offer Office 365 and Mitel phone systems, you know, and they're getting calls of, why don't I just go to Teams? Why don't I just have Teams as my piece? And the answer is, well, hold on, we can integrate MPA and we can integrate GSX. So we can give you a single picture of what you're going. You don't need to transition onto something like Teams. You can keep your Mitel phone system and keep your Office 365 system, and we can make sure both are, you know, providing the user experience you expect. So again, it's a real positive story in that respect. But I'll hand over to Erin just to get her perspective on that as well.
Yeah, I think the thing I would add there, Kevin. So you know, we certainly don't see any change on the growth trajectory for the Office 365 product. The legacy product, I mean, we have, you know, said since the beginning, we expect that to sunset really over the next couple of years as people transition away from the Domino platform. However, I would also point out, right, there's minimal investment going into that line of the business. So it is a profitable part of the GSX business, which allows us to, you know, harvest that revenue and reinvest in the growth of the Office 365 product.
Okay, thanks guys on that. And then that's actually interesting, John, the large deal with the U.S. company on GSX. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? Is that something that, was helped or accelerated by being under the Martello family? Did that come through a Mitel partner, or is that something, I just want to understand the dynamics there. Is that something that was helped by being part of Martello, or was that in the works beforehand?
I'm going to say no, that the team had this in hand anyway. I mean, much as we sort of stepped in and sort of said, how are we doing? What guidance do you need? And they, you know, closed it. It was already in the pipeline before the acquisition, but certainly we supported them to get it closed. But what is interesting is we're starting to see some early synergies with a couple of clients. We have one where they just closed with one of the large consulting firms in Europe. And we had just started talking to them about the IQ product. Those conversations are now accelerating because they see the integration between IQ and the GSX Gizmo as something they definitely want. And this is one of the, you know, the large global consulting firms. So we're very pleased with some of those early synergies. And much as I mentioned on the call, we've been very deliberate with our integration. Seeing extremely enthused sales guys and having to say, well, hold on, we've got to make sure we continue with the opportunities now. We can't suddenly, disrupt that by getting all excited and trying to push too hard is fabulous. So the sales team are pushing hard. They see the synergies. They see the potential cross-sells. To a certain degree, it's making sure we're staying on track with current pipeline and current focus so we don't disrupt.
Got it. Thanks for that. Maybe just the last one, just rounding out some of the financials, just on EBITDA and OPEX line items. A couple of things. Number one, just in the quarter, I understand the dynamic of delays in hiring and travel and marketing, all of that. But I'm curious on the bonuses. Is there a number that you can provide us in terms of how the level of bonuses that were deferred, and when can we expect to see that in 2021, or do we expect to see that in 2021? And then just second, more broadly on the OpEx items, just help us kind of understand how to think about R&D, G&A, and sales and marketing Q1, maybe for the year, relative to what we saw in Q4.
Sure. So on the bonuses, so that was a one-time adjustment in Q4 to really essentially eliminate a couple $100,000 worth of bonuses that we had accrued for fiscal 20. Given the salary reductions and the activities that we're undertaking just around headcount, we felt that it was appropriate to just reduce the bonus payouts for fiscal 20. So we don't expect that to, it's not a deferral, it's gone.
Okay, thank you.
And from an OPEX perspective, I think when we talk about R&D, G&A, if you think about the OPEX right now, we've right now from a headcount perspective, which is the bulk of our OPEX at the end of the day, we will see reductions based on the salary reductions that we have had, based on the furloughs in the NetTech business. And then we will see OPEX reductions as well across the board, based on the fact that, after we divest Elfiq, that headcount will be gone completely. Obviously, we'll be bringing GSX on, however, so those will sort of offset to some degree. But I think, we are really looking at a disciplined approach to our OPEX right now from a headcount and other cost perspective. So I don't see, if you were thinking about the current fiscal year, I wouldn't be anticipating any significant increases, particularly in the early quarters, as we're still within the sort of salary reduction time frame, and that will only move up as we hit milestones around, meeting our targets and everything else for the year.
Got it. And then, so again, and just your view of reaching profitability, any thoughts there? I can't remember if you've mentioned that would come later this calendar year or early next year into the fiscal 2021 and the fiscal 2021 in terms of turning profitable.
Yeah, so we've been pretty clear that we are very focused on getting to that sort of adjusted EBITDA positive position by the end of this fiscal year. Based on what we've seen in Q4 and the various initiatives that we've undertaken, including the divestiture of Elfiq. So once that's concluded and reflected in our results, that will obviously improve our bottom line as well. So we think that trajectory is putting us in clear view of being adjusted EBITDA positive by the end of the 21 fiscal year. I think, we have to bear in mind that we've just made a large and very strategic acquisition. And I think there's, with the COVID disruption, we see a really large opportunity for growth in front of us. So we are really looking at how to balance that investment for growth with the discipline on the OPEX side and the drive for EBITDA positive. So those are the conversations we're having right now, but still very focused on that trajectory towards EBITDA positive.
Great. Perfect. Thank you. To both of you, I'll pass the line. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
Our next question comes from David Kwan of PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning. You guys gave some good clarity, on the revenue trajectories for several lines of businesses. One that maybe you didn't talk about was on the Cision IT Ops business. When we look at least on the subscription revenue over the last couple of quarters, it's been up nicely year over year, a little bit more subdued on a quarter-over-quarter basis. Can you kind of talk about how you see that business growing over the next year or so?
Erin, do you want to take that one, or do you want me to start?
Yeah, sure. So I can talk to sort of the revenue piece. So the Cision business, I think, we have seen growth in the subscription piece of it. We've been very, very focused on driving the subscription revenue over perpetual deals. And we've also been focused on growth of the IQ product, which is in the DEM space, which is obviously our strategic focus right now. So, you know, I think in Q4, we felt a little bit towards the end of the quarter that as COVID hit, that's really where we probably felt the biggest impact of COVID, I would say, in this quarter, was on the IT operations analytics revenue and just bringing the new deals in towards the end of the quarter. But I think it's important that we continue to focus on that conversion from perpetual to recurring, and we reached that 90% recurring in fiscal 2020, and that we continue to focus on the bookings as well, right, and ensure that we've got that stable bookings base and that we're retaining our customers. You know, I think it's important as well. We've talked about the fact that we want to move both our IT operations and our GSX products onto a multi-tenant cloud SaaS platform, and that will create a large opportunity to expand the addressable market for those products. So those are really the areas we're focused on around growing that Civision revenue stream.
And just to add to that, and good morning, David, if I look at sort of IQ release, and it was release 2.9, MPA is now fully integrated into IQ. So our ability now to, you know, really focus on all those MPA clients and get them into IQ. And what is becomes key here for IQ is this GSX integration. GSX is, the gizmo is really, really good at saying where you have problems in that Office 365 environment. When you add it into IQ, it tells you why. So we've gone from, you know, what, and now we can add why. So this becomes really, really important, because when you look at sort of when the piece of the service, if you're sitting at home and, you know, in British Columbia and, you know, something in the office space, be it Teams, be it, you know, SharePoint, doesn't work, where, you know, who do you blame? Well, we call it the logo blame game. Do you blame Microsoft? Do you blame your ISP? Is it your house network? Who is it? And if you're a service provider that's delivering this, that's really important to avoid that logo blame game, that it's not the service provider, it's not Office, it's the ISP between you, or it's your own network. Because not being able to identify, you know, which part of the environment is at fault is actually quite expensive, because you can spend a lot of time troubleshooting. So this connection between GSX and IQ is important. But as I said, with IQ release 2.9, that MPA integration, you know, that really pushes our ability to go into the Mitel space and focus on all these MPA clients with IQ as an offering.
Well, that's helpful. And on that integration for both, I guess, GSX and IQ into the multi-tenant cloud, can you talk about the timelines for that?
Yes. I mean, this is where we see, I mean, it will be this financial year. It's on the product roadmap for this financial year. We're going to accelerate as fast as we can with, you know, a whole bunch of other pieces. And we've sort of, you know, when we look at sort of one of the key reasons that GSX, you know, agreed to what they wanted to do, it was this cloud-based multi-tenancy, which is where Martello has expertise and GSX had a little bit of expertise, but not enough to be able to accelerate as they would like to. So we're going to balance all the other requirements into that space to get that done and accelerate that cloud-based multi-tenancy. So it will be this financial year, and we're aiming sort of end Q3, beginning of Q4, to be able to bring that out.
Okay, perfect. Just on the GSX revenue, just understanding, you know, the legacy business is in decline. I'm not quite sure in terms of the trajectory when you expect that to fall off. But would you guys expect that the GSX business as a whole could start to see a material pickup in overall growth, obviously driven by the Microsoft business, maybe toward the end of this year, fiscal year?
Yeah, so I think so. The legacy business in 2019 was about 25% of their revenue. And we're obviously seeing a decline in that piece of the business and a strong growth in the other 75% of the business, the Office 365 piece. So, as you know, I believe that as the proportion of revenue from Office 365 continues to grow, we will start to see that growth in the GSX business as a whole. You know, as I've said before, you know, their revenue growth has been muted over the last couple of years by the fact that this legacy business has been declining. But as that proportion of Office 365 grows and that growth trajectory continues, we will start to see that coming through on the revenue numbers.
So Aaron, is that possible, I guess, to see that growth on the Microsoft business more than offset the declines in the legacy
yeah.
business in second
yeah.
half of this year?
Yeah, okay. I think it is. If we were to look at the different quarters, I think we would certainly start to see that towards the end of this fiscal year.
Perfect. Just a couple more questions. As it relates to the OPEX, the decline that we saw this quarter, I guess just normalizing for, you know, one-time items and the like, I guess the acquisition costs and the goodwill and intangible write-down, can you comment on how much of that decline in kind of the core OPEX was more one-time in nature, I think primarily it was related to COVID? And did you receive or, you know, whether it's in Q4 or even into Q1 here, any government funding related to COVID relief, whether it be here in Canada or even in Europe?
Yeah. So Q4, the one-time items were in the $300,000 to $400,000 range, I would say. So that gives you a sense of the normalization, I guess. And then with respect to government funding, there's nothing reflected in Q4. We have some small amounts of government funding in Q1, but nothing material.
Okay, perfect. And can you, where's headcount right now, and when are you guys planning on resuming hiring?
So headcount right now is about 120 people between Martello and GSX. We have that includes some of the, well, there are some employees at Alphique who are currently on furlough as we sort of move towards closing the deal on Alphique. We are, you know, we don't have any plans to increase our headcount significantly this year. We've been replacing some positions recently as there's been attrition. But no plans to start driving significant increases in headcount over the course of the fiscal year at this time.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Daniel Rosenberg of Paradigm Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. I just had a high-level question regarding the product roadmap. You mentioned a number of initiatives for this year, but longer term to really position yourself for as a leader in experience management, what are the areas that you think could be interesting or emerging today that, you know, in a few years this might be an interesting opportunity for you guys?
Yeah, so I mean, great question. And what it speaks to is, you know, we do see some competition in there. As I mentioned earlier, we've already displaced one of them in a nice large deal in the US. But you can't rest there. So there's a couple of things. So the first is, you know, really looking at how do we improve that picture, whether it's things like network path visualization, so you can actually see, you know, not just, you know, have text on where your data is going to and from and where the issues are. I've mentioned cloud-based multi-tenancy, but also this SaaS monitoring. Much as, you know, we can do Office 365, there's no reason we can't expand this into other areas of user experience, whether that's things like Salesforce, ServiceNow, or other things. You know, what this, we call it the robot user, but effectively the synthetic transaction. As these enterprise environments get really, really complicated with people working from home and complex, and they're trying to understand, you know, how do I as a CIO, you know, support, you know, this new environment? One of the ways to do it is use these robot users, these synthetic transactions, before you architect your new enterprise environment. You can actually test it. You can find out, will Teams work across this environment? You know, if I run Office 365 from the cloud, you know, across my whole enterprise, what will the user experience look like before I buy it? So there's a whole bunch of things that we can do there that actually support, you know, this new complexity of, you know, work from anytime, any place, anywhere. And much as I said earlier, you know, we're looking at how we will come back to work. I think every company is the same, and nobody really has a good handle on what this will look like. At the same time, geographically, I think it could be different as well. So being able to support an IT director or a CIO who is trying to figure out, you know, how does he look at a hybrid cloud environment and make sure that he can deliver a user experience across his enterprise in such a way that it brings value. I think that's where we'll be focusing. And as I said, everything from increased software as a service monitoring, network path visualization, and other pieces. The other thing I think we'll see is maturity. At the moment, you've got managed service providers that offer service level agreements. Well, the service just says, we will deliver 99.9% uptime. I think the maturity will come to experience level agreements or XLAs. And if you look at something like an experience level agreement, then you're holding your managed service provider to account for, what is the quality of my conversation on Teams? What is the quality of my conversation on any sort of video conference? But what is the quality of my Office 365 experience? And that's moving up the value chain. That's no longer just saying I want 99.9% uptime. That's saying I want 99.9% of of my voice calls to be completely understandable with no distortion. And we can measure that. And I think that's where you'll see us really focusing and bringing value into that MSP environment. And that's also part of that cloud-based multi-tenancy is getting into that space and that multi-tenant environment for the MSPs. What is also interesting is we've had a number of tech companies approach us since we announced the GSX acquisition to discuss white labeling. So I think you'll see a lot of work in that space for us as well on that partner space. And that's really where Mike Danforth coming in helps us on that partner side, because when you look at sort of that level of white labeling, which is effectively what we already do with Mitel, we're going to transition that into a much bigger white labeling and partner environment for the future.
That's great to hear. And then in terms of the competitive landscape, I mean, we've seen kind of you guys, remain agile and even accelerate some parts of your business in this environment. I was wondering if you could comment on any changes in how you view the competitive landscape, given what the world is these days.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we've mentioned this before, but within Mitel, we are the only analytics tool that is available. So that's a great competitive landscape for us. But obviously, as one of the things we in the SD-WAN space, which is why we're divesting. Most of the analysts on the call know SD-WAN got really, really busy. There were so many definitions. It became quite a competitive and difficult environment to penetrate. When I go into the DM monitoring space, one of our key competitors just got acquired. So, and I'm, we've mentioned this before, one of our, Cisco just acquired one of our key competitors. And that'll be interesting to watch how that works. And I think, looking at Gartner and who they see as our competition, we've just displaced one of those. And I think we bring certain benefits on that. So I think people will start to looking at this DM space. If Cisco have just acquired, one of our leading competitors, I think some of the big companies are starting to realize, DM is truly a thing. And I know that sounds a bit trite, but it is. And I said, this is that maturity going from service level agreement to experience level agreements. And I think if you look at the next 2 to 3 years, DEM will become a very dominant measure of value across the enterprise environment.
Okay, great. Thanks for that.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to John Proctor for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. On behalf of all of us, thank you for your interest in Martello. As mentioned earlier, you can reach us by emailing investor@martellotech.com. And the recording of today's call will be available on our website later today. And if you have any questions, please reach out to that email address. Have a great day, and thank you for your attention.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.